Prabhupada came and put a picture of Gopal Krishna on the seat, and then the interviewer thought, oh, this is going to be an easy one. I'm going to eat him for breakfast. So immediately he said, Swamiji, during the national television program, he said, why do you worship this Hindu god? And then Prabhupada said, Krishna is not a Hindu god, he is God. So now tell us, what he told, Prabhupada said to the interviewer, now tell us, what is your conception of God? If you consider yourself a Christian, now tell us, from your scriptures, tell me about God, I want to hear about it. Tell me everything you know about God. And the man said, well, I don't really know very much. He said, well, we know a lot. In our scriptures, everything is there about God. So, we know something about God. You know nothing about God. Therefore, kindly accept our understanding about God, since you don't know anything about him. So the man was completely flabbergasted, didn't know what to say. First time anyone turned the tables on him and completely defeated him. So similarly, in modern society, they don't know that the aim of life is to obtain Krishna. Kali Yuga means there is no education. Education means education in Dharma, what the laws of nature are. From the beginning of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna educates us in the laws of nature. For instance, in Durban, Srila Prabhupada was giving a conference with some other Indian gentlemen. And during the conference, Prabhupada mentioned the law of transmigration of the soul. And one of the other Indian gentlemen immediately challenged him and said, Swamiji, how can you tell us about the law of transmigration of the soul? This is just a Hindu doctrine. And Prabhupada said, no, it is not a Hindu doctrine. It's a law. That 5,000 years ago, when Krishna was speaking to Arjuna on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, Krishna did not tell Arjuna, my dear Arjuna, now we're on this battlefield. The war is about to begin. Terrible things will happen. But don't worry, because I happen to be a Hindu god. And luckily, you also happen to be a Hindu. So now, we have nothing else to do for the next 2 hours. I think I'll tell you some Hindu philosophy. Now, according to Hindu philosophy, all Hindus have material bodies, unlike other people. And the unique thing about Hindu bodies is that they keep on changing, unlike everyone else. But fortunately, unlike anyone else, Hindus have souls. And therefore, when their bodies finally change at the last change called death, Hindus get another Hindu body. That self-realized Hindus are not bewildered by being Hindus. No, the Prabhupada said, actually, everyone has a body that's changing. Whether you're a Hindu or a Christian or if you're a mouse or a plant, you have a body that's changing. And every living entity, whatever species of life, is conscious of all these different changes of body, which shows that the soul is not changing despite the changes of the body. So we've already changed our bodies so many times, death is just another change of body. And as we die, we haven't died during all these changes of body, so at the time of death, we're not going to die either. So that's universal. It applies to every living entity forever, eternally. So that's called law, science. So actually our philosophy begins with science. Science of the self, the real self. So Bhagavad Gita begins with knowledge, real knowledge, of the actual self and our situation in the material world and how to get out of this entanglement. So this is actually science. But people don't know this science, nor are they educated in this science. They're educated nowadays in technology. Every other person's either a businessman being educated how to cheat people, that whatever is yours is mine, and what is mine is mine. Or technology, how to help people cheat others, waste their time. So this is modern education. No education about the eternal self, no education about the Supreme Person. In America, if you tell people about God, they can fire you or send you to prison. And if you tell them about monkeys, then they give you a Nobel Prize. So this is the very unfortunate situation that modern society's in. And Dharasya Ye Bahya Artha Manina, something completely insignificant, makes headlines. Some leader of a country sneezes and it's all over the internet. He's going to die. We all know he's going to die. They didn't have to advertise it. So, people are blind because they're educated to be blind. They don't know what the purpose of life is and how to achieve it. They're just punak punas charvita charvananam, being offered the same chewed, something that was already been chewed millions of times, they're offered it again, technologically. You can see the same dead animal either on your plate or in three dimension on the internet. The same eating, sleeping, mating, defending is brought to you live in virtual reality because people are tired of the real thing. They want something virtual. Like nowadays, people are tired of illicit sex with people. That now they're opening brothels with robots. Because robots, well, anyhow, they're attracted. They're really attracted to dead things because these bodies are dead. So why not make it official? Besides that, anyhow, we don't have to get into that. So people are blind and their leaders are blind, because they don't know what the goal of life is and how to achieve it. And therefore, they're sending people to the darkest regions of existence. Because there's no dharma. There's no idea what liberation is from the bodily concept of life. They want to get more absorbed in the bodily concept of life. They're advertising increase your economic, so-called economic development. Simply increase your eating, sleeping, mating, defending. That's what it means, somehow or another. And increase your so-called economic, so you can enjoy your senses more and more. So this is called, these are the leaders. The whole advertisement is cell phones and computers and this and that. I just saw again, there was one boy in China 8 years ago when the iPhone came out. He felt so depressed he didn't have an iPhone because the advertisements were so intense. They felt his life was a failure without that iPhone. So he found out on the internet, he went on the internet and found out he could sell his kidney and get an iPhone in exchange. So he sold his kidney for $5,000, and he bought an iPhone and got an iPad extra. Then his mother noted that he was sick, and then after some 8 years later, his other kidney failed, and he's permanently on dialysis. And his iPhone failed also. So much propaganda, so much advertisement that this is the purpose of life, and if you follow us, you'll achieve it. But they're all blind. They don't know that they're not their body. They don't know how to become happy. They don't know how to become peaceful. They're simply causing themselves and others problems. They're blind, and they're leading others to the wrong destination. So here it mentions there's something called Varnashram Dharma, which is advertised within our society. I even heard that Prabhupada said that 50% of his work is undone. Of course, if Prabhupada actually thought that 50% of his work was undone, he probably would have not just told this supposedly to two of his caretakers, his nurses. He probably would have let the GPC at that time know. So the fact that he only told it to two of his nurses means that Prabhupada didn't think it was so important to inform the rest of the society about it. In any case, Varnashram, according to Lord Krishna, is Chatura Vida Bhajante Mam Janasukriti, Chatura Vanya Mayashistam Guna Karma Vibhagashaha Tasya Karataram Apimam Vidya Karataram Avyam. That according to the three modes of material nature and the work prescribed to them, the corresponding four divisions of human society were made by me. And although I'm the creator of the system, I'm still yet the non-doer. In other words, as long as we're under the three modes of material nature, there's going to be some duty for us to perform. Now, in Kali Yuga, we've all been born as Shudra. Kalo Sudra Sambhava Jayate Sambhava Shudra. By birth, we've all acquired the qualities of a Shudra. And then by modern education, according to Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakura, we've been educated to become less than animals. Because Shudras, they have one good quality, they're submissive. And in the material world, people are educated to become unsubmissive. If someone says black, immediately everyone else cries out white. And as soon as they say white, everyone else cries out black. So people have been educated not to listen to any authority because they don't believe in authority. Because in modern society, there is no authority, no bona fide authority. Everyone wants to be the king because everyone wants to be the leader. Now, actually, there is a purpose of life, and there's a method of achieving it. But people don't know that, nor are they educated in that way, and therefore, whatever they're doing is leading them down the wrong path. Now, in the Krishna consciousness movement, we're trying to lead people on the right path. Now, to educate people in Varna and Ashram, people just laugh at us. Could you imagine going on television and saying, everyone should follow the Brahmins? They say, what? The Brahmins, you know, the people of the priestly class. Oh, yeah, we heard about those guys. And the leader and the government should chastise all the people who don't follow the Brahmins. The priestly people, they should be immediately killed. Yeah, what year was that? That was going on, I can't remember. It's a history of the world. Dark ages, that's right. So you want us to go back to the dark ages. And what do? Well, I'm a priest. Aha, I thought so. Yes, we'd be quite popular. And how did you become a priest? Well, my father was a priest. My mother was a priest. My grandparents were priests. Everyone in my family is a priest. Even my dog's a priest. Now, people are not going to accept Varnashram. Nor do we accept Varnashram. Nor do we even know what our situation is, what our position in Varnashram would be. And even if we thought we were Kshatriyas, just like people, devotees used to learn karate, I'm a Kshatriya. These devotees themselves needed protection from themselves. And yet they were Kshatriyas. And even I understand that we're Brahmins. How do we know we're Brahmin? Well, we can show our sacred thread. See, Prabhu, I'm a Brahmin. Look at my thread. No, actually, we are following Varnashram. Everyone's following Varnashram. To think that anything in the Bhagavad Gita is temporary. Just like, for instance, people are criticizing, oh, you're just saying Hare Krishna. Whenever we ask you a question, you say Hare Krishna. Oh, all you're doing is praying to Krishna all the time. Well, we have news for you. You're also praying to Krishna. The difference is we know that there is a Krishna and we're praying to him. You're desiring, Krishna is in your heart. He's hearing your prayer, your desire, what you're attached to, your desires you're attached to. And he's arranging the material world to fulfill your desires according to what you deserve. So you're also praying to Krishna, but you're unconsciously praying to Krishna, and you're praying for all the wrong things. But at least we're conscious, and we know what to pray for. We know what to desire. So every part of the Bhagavad Gita is eternal. The question is whether you're going to be conscious or unconscious of what the goal of life is, and how to achieve it. If you don't know what the goal of life is, then you're going to go in the wrong direction. So we ourselves, for Varnashram, at least we know we're not going to be able to perfectly fit into Varnashram, but we know that Varnashram is eternal, and therefore we're utilizing our psychophysical nature for now in the Sankirtan movement. As Prabhupada writes in the Srimad Bhagavatam, the 5th chapter, text 32, Etam Sushushitam Brahmams Tapatraya Chikitsitam, that Narada Muni is speaking to Vyasadeva, and he's saying, actually, the perfection of life can be achieved by dovetailing our activities with the Supreme Personality of Godhead's desires. So Prabhupada writes in the purport that if you have some intelligence and you can convince people that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then try to convince them about that. Don't try to advertise yourself as being something special, that you should be the object of everyone's attention and affection and worship and service. Tell them that Krishna, he should be the object of affection, service, and worship. Try to convince people like that. Don't try to take Krishna's position by a fragmental accumulation of knowledge. And if you have some ability to organize, then organize a Sankirtan movement. Or organize your house to participate in the Sankirtan movement. Organize your household so that morning and evening you sit down with your husband and wife and children before the deities and you chant Hare Krishna together. And hear Srimad Bhagavatam. use that intelligence in organization. Or organize the Sankirtan movement, the Harinam, the book distribution. Organize the temple worship. Use your intelligence in that way. And if you have no intelligence to preach, or you have no intelligence to organize, you like to make money, accumulate wealth, then utilize that wealth in the Sankirtan movement for Krishna. Actually, the wealth is Lakshmi. Don't try to steal Lakshmi like Ravana, or else you'll get the same, meet the same fate he did. Instead, offer Lakshmi back to Narayan. But after all, since we have to work in the material world, what is the goal? The goal is that if we actually serve Krishna in this world, then Kataruchi, then as we become purified, as we become Krishna conscious, then we'll develop a taste for the holy name. We'll develop a taste for hearing about Krishna, and ultimately we'll have a taste for everything we're doing in service to Krishna. So we're performing the Sankirtan Yajna, and we're utilizing our talents in this sacrifice. Vanashram means Jagavai Vishnu. So we're performing Vanashram by engaging our propensities in the Sankirtan movement. Now, even if there was a Varnashram, even if somehow or another in the future there are kings, obviously we're not going to have kings right now. We don't even have real presidents. Prabhupada said his formula for changing society, he said if you preach to all these big leaders, maybe that has some effect, but they change all the time. One day they're the hero, and the next day they're the biggest villain in the world. But if you convince the general mass of people that Krishna is God and they should sacrifice their energies in Krishna's service somehow or another, then the result is that they'll know what a real leader is, and they'll elect real leaders, and then the whole society will change. So we're trying to now introduce the Sankirtan movement, and as the Sankirtan movement actually expands and gains influence, then there may be other aspects of society that we can influence. And since not everyone's going to take to the Hare Krishna movement, chant Hare Krishna and become a devotee, therefore at least Prabhupada said that people can get food, they have to perform sacrifice. Therefore, we can introduce Varnashram to them so at least they can have a stable society and therefore get at least something for eating by performing their Varnashram based on Vishnu. That sacrifice should be for Vishnu, that everyone should do their duty for Vishnu. And then even if the devotees participate, but they don't participate for fruit of desires, for mental speculation. They participate in Varnashram as Yudhisthira Maharaj or as others here, Prithu Maharaj, in order to set the example, Karmanaiva hi samsidim asita janakadaya. Janaka Maharaj participated in Varnashram just to show people how to act so they can get liberation. We're not interested in just liberation. We're interested in pure devotional service. But people don't even know that they should try to get liberated from the bodily concept of life. So great devotees act to show them how to at least get liberation. If they won't take up love of God, at least they should take up a process to get liberated instead of entangled in material energy. And then one day when they become sufficiently liberated from the material concepts, then they can take up love of God more easily. So here, something about Varnashram. We shouldn't start, when am I going to become a Brahmin? When am I going to become a Kshatriya? I really want to lord it over. Maybe I should become the temple commander and practice being a Kshatriya. No, we're not interested in that kind of right now. We're interested in spreading the Sankirtan movement, either in the temple, in our homes, or outside the temple. we're acting as servants of the servants of the servants of Krishna. And whatever duty we're given in the Sankirtan movement, it's just as a servant of the Acharyas coming into simple succession. And as soon as we start identifying, I am a Brahmin, I am a Kshatriya, I am a Vaishya, I am the temple president, I am a sannyasi, I am a guru, I am this and that, and we don't think ourselves to be the servant of the servant of the servant of Krishna, then we've gone beyond Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Poor Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He gave up all these wonderful designations, and he was so depressed, he just thought he was a servant. But we've gone way beyond that. We've become the master of everyone. So as soon as we think like that, then we actually think ourselves better than Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And then our devotional service is useless. So one should take up service in the attitude of service, find out what the duties of that service are, because there are duties for every service, although sometimes in ISKCON, it's all kind of unclear. Here's your service, good luck. Make up your job description as you go along. But there should be duties for everyone so they know what they're doing. Then they can do it as a service rather than, I just got off the wrong side. Sorry, Prabhu. Then we can actually feel like servants and make spiritual advancement in whatever we're doing. And as soon as we think ourselves to be the master, then material nature will engage us in a lot of service. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions? Comments? Yes. What's that? Vanashram? College. Well, we should have our whole, this is a part of Vanashram College, by the way. It's not that we don't have any Vanashram College. What do you think we're doing here? We're trying to be educating people to become Brahmins, to understand reality. And if they can't become Brahmins, they can't understand reality and preach, whatever, or they're not inclined in that way, then we should have Varnashram College. We should train people to become proper administrators, just like they're trying to have a GBC college. And we should have, in Radha Desh, they have something like Albert Ford Business School. So we should teach people how to protect cows, like we have our agricultural and cattle ministry, that's part of Vanashram College, training people how to protect cows and how to properly farm. So we have the elements of it, but it has to be expanded. So for practical work, everyone needs education. Not only we should find out what our duties are, but we should be trained up properly, how to perform them. But we're doing that to a small degree, but it should be expanded even more. Anything else? Thank you very much. Grandharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Gaur Premanande.